This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 11th, 2018, the 24th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Christ has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us through that second reading, we are presented with a reality that Jesus Christ has entered into heaven itself. Now, we can look at that as a history lesson. Well, yeah, Jesus ascended into heaven. Why? Why did Jesus Christ ascend into heaven? There is a very practical reason as to why our Lord Jesus Christ did so. Christ brought his sacrifice into heaven. He brought it into eternity. Consequently, it can be eternally offered. That is what's going on with the ascension. It is not just some really cool thing that Jesus did to put a period at the end of his earthly ministry. He did so to do something very practical for us. And the practicality is found in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Every time we as Catholics gather together, every single time, we represent the sacrifice of Calvary to God the Father in association with those things that we bring to every Mass. Whatever your intentions might be as individuals, no matter how many they are, no matter what the spoken intention is of the Mass, no matter how many different intentions the celebrant has at the Mass, and there are not just the ones you hear, but several for both the living and the dead at every Mass. When we understand this, we have to understand that the only reason that the Mass is efficacious or that it works, the reason that God answers the prayers of the faithful is not because we're all that and we deserve it, or he's so merciful and he just does things good for us. He does what we ask him because when he is looking down from heaven upon us, he looks down upon us and sees through the sacrifice of his Son. Our Lord ascended body into heaven to bring the wounds that he endured in this world and put them before the Father. Jesus Christ still bears the wounds in his hands and in his feet and in his side. Our Lord God looks down upon our supplications and he will answer not because of us, not actually a lot of times, most of the times in my case, in spite of us. He will answer because of what his Son did for us, because we represent in a real way the sacrifice of the Mass. Now, when I say never fall into this error that every time we come in here that we re-sacrifice our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not re-sacrificed. He sacrificed himself once for all on the cross. If he had just pricked his divine finger and squeezed out one drop of divine blood, that would have been enough for the sins of everyone who at ever was living or ever would live on the world. One drop of his blood. He emptied his entire being for all of us. That is how sure is our redemption. We do not re-sacrifice Christ. We represent the sacrifice. And we, if we are in union with him, as we teach and as we speak of quite frequently, when we are in union with him, we have to understand that just as really as he ascended into heaven, we as part of his body are with him in heaven. St. Paul says that in the New Testament. He says, present tense, you are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. He doesn't say you will be seated in the heavenlies after you die. It's something to wait for later on. You are right now seated with Christ. I don't feel like I am. Well, we are bound to this world. But that does not negate that in union with him, that just as he is objectively and truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, so we too are present with him in heaven, objectively and truly. For us, it's spiritual and in shadowy sacramental forms. But when we come to that part of the Mass, we say, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. That is not, hey, that's pretty cool. You guys are up there doing your thing and we're down here doing ours and we're all like one big happy family. No, it's much more than that. It is much more profound. We are truly with them. You are with your loved ones departed and your friends departed who died in faith and obedience and are now in heaven or purgatory. We together offer the sacrifice of the Mass. Almost every Mass at this place, there is a specific intention. And I will get up here, or whoever the celebrant is, and they will say, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is offered this day for. It is imperative that we understand that it is the holy sacrifice of the Mass that will answer the prayers that we are offering for that particular intention. And as I said, every intention that you and I bring before the altar of God. We have to appreciate the fact that it is not, hey, because we're all hanging out together is why Jesus answers us. It is because of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and our union with him that makes this sacrifice a reality for each and every one of us. St. John Chrysostom, actually speaking on these verses from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews, in his comment on that, when it says Christ has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf, St. John Chrysostom says, let us then become heaven. What? We don't have any problem, or we shouldn't have any problem, understanding that bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ on the altar. Bread and wine no longer exist. We don't have it, shouldn't have any problem with that because that is what your Catholic Church teaches and that's what you have to believe to be a Catholic. We should have no less a problem to understand what St. John Chrysostom says, let us then become heaven. When we come together and celebrate Mass, it is not some kumbaya fest, okay? It is not a reenactment of the Last Supper. It is not just merely Eucharist. Most people know what that means. Eucharist, Thanksgiving. For what? What is this? It's the Eucharist. Okay, it's Thanksgiving. For what? It's the Eucharist. It's a thanksgiving for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he really did hang on a cross with spikes through his hands, his feet, and bled out completely in atonement for our sins. That's what John Chrysostom means by let us then become heaven. We need to associate ourselves with the sacrifice of Christ. It makes him understand that we understand when we practically sacrifice. Again, as I said, the Mass is not a passion play to bring to the mind a spiritual, historic lesson. It is actually the objective application of his sacrifice to our souls. Every time we gather together, every single time we gather together, it is the application of Jesus Christ's sacrifice to our very souls. And as I said before, the Mass works because it is a sacrifice. If it is anything less than a sacrifice, if it is anything approaching just ritual, or if it has been taken into another direction, hold the thought, it is not the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass is a sacrifice. It has ever been the emphasis of Holy Mass that is, that's what we're doing when we come here. Yes, indeed, Eucharist, thanksgiving for the sacrifice of Christ. Yes, indeed, a communal meal, because that is the platform on which our Lord instituted the Blessed Sacrament. But it is first and foremost a sacrifice. It is unfortunate, as I said, hold the thought, when there is a deviation from an understanding and a presentation of the Mass, because the way we present things is an outward manifestation of what we believe. Lex orandi, lex credendi. What we pray is what we believe. It manifests that. If it's not a sacrifice, it is not efficacious. It doesn't work. How can you say that? Well, Jesus says it in the Gospel. Today's gospel, did he not say, beware the scribes? They love to hang out in the synagogues. They like to dress up. They like to say long prayers because people ooh and ah over them. Theirs is the greater condemnation because they have a lot of form but no substance. The substance of our faith is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I warn you that in most places now, the vast majority of places, the sacrifice is not emphasized and it is actually discounted. This whole presentation of the Mass as this passion play of what went on 2,000 years ago in the upper room reenacting the Lord's Supper is not the case. The primary manifestation of what I'm talking about is priests facing the people when they celebrate Mass. Since the beginning of the church, the priest and all the people, everyone gathered together, prays for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his presence. We know from the scriptures that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to return from the east. Everyone faces east, ad orientem, to the east. But within the past 50 years, Mass is celebrated ad populum. What happens when that goes on? As opposed to everybody looking east, and one of two things is going to go on, Jesus is going to be present, either on the altar sacramentally, or he's going to come back from the east. And we need to always be prepared for that. But when the priest faces the people, it becomes enclosed. It becomes a big circle. This is all about us. It's all about our gathering together. It's all about the meal. The bad thing about that is, for one thing, you'll hear people say, well, Vatican II says, no, it doesn't. It doesn't make one mention in any way, shape, or form of priests facing the people to put on the show. It doesn't say a word about that. The history of your church, if you look at scratchings on walls in the catacombs, the priest is facing east with the people. Everybody's facing the same way. He doesn't have his back to you. When we enclose things and we make it about us, what Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict XVI said in his book, The Spirit of the Liturgy, and he said it as a word of warning because of what was going on. He gave us a word of warning and he says that if we lose sight of the Mass as a sacrifice, it doesn't do anything but degrade into, and I quote, a festival of self-affirmation. A festival of self-affirmation. You go to most places, that's what you see, a festival of self-affirmation. This is all about us. You know, hey, look, we're all gathered together. This is great. We're reenacting the supper. Like I said, the supper and the Mass is, in an ancillary way, a supper. An ancillary way because that is, as I said, the platform on which Jesus Christ instituted the representation of what he was going to do. Our Lord Jesus Christ's command at the supper was, "This is my body, which will be given up for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. This do in remembrance of me." He does not say, "Hey, isn't it cool that we're all here together eating? Isn't it great that we have fellowship? Let's do this all the time." His emphasis and his command is a representation of the sacrifice. In English, we can't do justice to the word in Greek, anamnesis, a representation. Not a bringing to cognitive recall, but a true representation, an objective representation of Calvary. The sacrifice is the command of our Lord Jesus Christ in the supper. The sense of sacrifice that we endure in the Mass. Not just knowing that it's a sacrifice, but living the fact that it's a sacrifice brings us closer to Jesus Christ. It conforms us more and more and more every time we expose ourselves to it. It conforms us to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Mass has even been designed historically for that. What we do at Mass lends itself to an element of sacrifice. Why don't we sit in lazy boys when we come to Mass? "Hey, Father, why don't you get some cushions on these? These are uncomfortable. It's wood." Really? Count your blessings that you're sitting down. Because in the Eastern Orthodox liturgies, you're standing up. Sometimes for, I mean this literally, hours. You're standing up and you're walking around. You're doing all kinds of things like, "Man, I get tired. I need to sit down." The element of sacrifice, of just sitting on a hardwood bench. Not to mention the fact that traditionally the Mass, you spend a lot of time where? On your knees. On your knees. I can't kneel too much. That's why I scoop my rear onto the pew. I do this sort of half-sitting, half-kneeling thing. If you're on your knees and it's uncomfortable, offer it up. This is what I mean. We've lost sense of this because there are Catholic churches now, many of them, that don't have kneelers. Why? Because that's uncomfortable. People don't like it. Well, who really cares because you're only there 20 minutes anyway because they shorten everything up. They leave this out, they leave that. That's to take all out the obligations of Mass. Everything that's sacrificed, everything that's sacrificial, let's leave that out. If you leave that out, guess what? What I said before doesn't apply. You are not brought closer to Christ. You are not conformed to the image of Christ. He tells us to take up our cross daily and follow him daily. So why not in here for an hour-ish? Even the Mass makes us, and not only the things that are self-consciously put in there, sitting on a hardwood bench, kneeling a lot, genuflecting, all these things. There are other things that happen by his providence and on the side that actually, I think for more people, might actually be more sacrificial than kneeling down. This place, for instance, it is small. Just people that come to this place, not many people live around here, okay? They come to this parish. You got a handful. Most people that come to this parish drive 25, 35, 45, an hour. We had some kids before they went off to college. They were driving from Flagler County a couple times. I mean, my gosh, man. How many Catholic churches do you pass from Flagler County to here? And they came here. Why? It was a sacrifice for them. It was a sacrifice. And it conformed them more to Christ, and it made them closer to Jesus Christ, reality-wise. Not to mention by what you get here. This is a tiny place, okay? It's a tiny place. Guess what? We don't have a cry room. Thank God Almighty, there's a bunch of little ones in here. But guess what little ones do? They're not particularly engaged, okay? And when they're not engaged, they'll engage themselves, all right? Guess what? Before their parents, it's a sacrifice. They got to run out and run out, change out, move this way. Other people, it's a sacrifice. You know, But guess what? It ain't about you. All right? Saint Therese. If those of you who have read Saint Therese, A Story of a Soul, she talks about her holy hours when she would come in there and she and the other nuns were just incensed because one of the sisters couldn't keep her rosary quiet. She's always rattling her rosary. And it drove Saint Therese nuts. You know, she had an epiphany. Our Lord's like, guess what, girl? This isn't about you. Mind your own business. You pray. You deal with that. I had to deal with you and your sin. Deal with it. It's a sacrifice. A real one. Well, I like to hear about sacrifice, but I don't really want to endure any. That's what brings us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very practical. And when we lose sight of that, when it becomes all about us, what I don't like and I don't want to listen to, or what annoys me, then what Pope Benedict XVI says, we are engaged in that festival of self-affirmation. And we cannot have that. Because when that happens, the Mass doesn't work as well. It is not as efficacious. We're preparing ourselves for something by sacrificing. You know what we're preparing ourselves for? Three things that are assured. Absolutely assured. Bottom line. And that's again in Hebrews. One verse toward the end. And just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. Three things in that one verse. They are assured. You're going to die, should the Lord tarry. You're going to die. You're going to be judged. And it's going to be by Jesus Christ who's going to come back. Little footnote on that verse also. The next time you have somebody talk to you about reincarnation, there's where you go. It is appointed for each to die once, and then the judgment. So that negates that whole nonsense. Okay? But back to what I said, we're preparing ourselves for that judgment. We're preparing ourselves for our death by the sacrifices that we offer up. That sounds so cliche, but when we put in association with our Lord Jesus Christ, we're preparing ourselves by the sacrifice. And if you haven't made your faith real, if you haven't applied His sacrifice to your life, you got some problems. We're all working toward a better and better understanding of this whole sacrificial aspect of our faith. But suffice it to say, bottom line, it's not about us. It's not about self. This is not a self-help consortium, okay? This is where we come together and we act like Jesus Christ to sacrifice for us. That's why there is the solemnity of what goes on. Who goes to a funeral and sits around and laughs and talks on their cell phone? It would be unthinkable to go to somebody's funeral and cut up. People will come in where Jesus Christ, the God-man, His sacrifice is represented, and that shows the vibrancy of our parish. No, it's rude and disrespectful and sacrilegious is what it is. Priests to celebrate are not giving you a holy show and tell. That part when our Lord is presented to us. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold Him that taketh away the sins of the world. The one who bled and died an excruciating death. He's here. And what do I see? A whole lot of... It's not a benediction. It's not holy show and tell. It's God Almighty present with us. And we should act like that. When you go elsewhere, where there is the festival of self-affirmation, you can tell it hands down. You can tell it hands down. In my case anyway, I close my eyes in some parts of it. That is how important it is to respect what our Lord has done for us. To understand the sacrifice that He endured for us and then apply it to each and every one of our lives and not only to our lives, but those of our loved ones that are departed and those who are still here with us. And we pray fervently for them that the sacrifice of Christ will be applied to their lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.